Well, welcome. To bed. If you're all as exhausted as I am, so many familiar faces. It's excellent. This is a short talk, but the good news is all the talks today get podcast. So go onto the internet and you'll find all these little 15-minute presentations throughout the whole day. The stand been pretty exciting all day. Wise old heads at this end, reflecting on what they know about changing learning. Kids down at the other end intolerantly insisting that you do it now and do it quickly and do it better. What could be better? Different school every day arriving on the stand, different set of tough questions. Louder? He's asking for louder, is that possible? Yep, yeah, you can. Is that loud enough? Good. Well, they have trouble with the neighbours, you know. So, what I thought I'd reflect on very quickly is just a little bit of the excitement of why this stands here and why this all matters. This is, I think, my 21st bet. It's a lot of bets. In the very early days of bet, all these stands were people with little sort of hobby stalls who were trying to invent new ways of using technology. Some of you are here now, you know. Trying to invent new ways of using technology to make learning a little better. And the real battle then was, could we even get the technology to do it? Now, things are radically different, and I've only just summarised that in a simple slide here, if I may. Excuse me for turning my back on you for a moment. So 20th century learning, can we use technology to enhance learning? And of course, in the 21st century, you know, look around the show, it can do anything you like. So the question is, what would we like to do? And that's a really profound question. I've been at the Moving Young Minds conference for the last two or three days with ministers from all around the world, coming together to say, how ambitious might we be for learning? Now, you know, I know some of the projects that I'm working with, I know some of the projects that you're working with, children are producing stellar performances. Out in the Caribbean, we're doubling children's performance in 4 years. In Knowsley, turning around the whole area dramatically, where the vision was, you know, this region is going to walk a little taller. People are going to walk down the street with proper self-confidence. So we're at a point of simply saying, how ambitious do we want to be for learning? What do we want our learning to be like? And that's actually the only limiting factor. So this little stand at the middle of BET with Steve's team, Partnership for Schools, with kids, you know, we're sitting here to say, how good do you want it to be? Now, I'm working with countries all around the world, I think nine countries now, all around the world, and all we're doing is building ourselves a target and then designing schools that meet... Oh, sorry. Sorry, they're podcast people. And designing schools that are going to meet that target in a really spectacular way. And what I wanted to share with you today was a little of that, but I just wanted you to get the sense that this is a very different world, because in that world that we used to be in BET, it was very simple. We just, what's good practice? Yep, okay, found some. Can I replicate it? Yep, I can do that. And can I make it a little better? That's where we all were for 20 years. But in truth, where we are now is here. Yeah. Let's just set our targets and let's design for those targets, and then let's come back and iterate those targets and review them and revise them. And where what we used to do was criterion referencing of saying, are our children doing as well as they were doing 10 years ago? Well, that's a prison. That actually locks them in a prison that says, you know, and imagine if you turned up at the Olympics, you know, and you only had to do as well as they did in 1960s, you know, half the audience would walk away with a medal. So what we're saying now is, you know, look at economic and social planning. What do you want for your school? What do you want for your neighbourhood? What do you want for your region? What do you want for your country? Okay, let's build it. And that's where we are now. Now, what I'd like to do is just show you a few of the schools that are being built around the world and the learning spaces are being built around the world where people are being that brave. Some of them in this country, many of them in other countries, and give you a sense of what people are doing with that ambition. So so let's go with all that. And one of the reasons this is fascinating for BET is actually over the 20 years or so we've all been coming here, we've got away with, well, murder, really. Well, we've been able to use technology to do the new sorts of learning that we were never able to do in physical spaces. You know that kids learning and working together, I was talking to a head teacher whose children are networked to 14 different countries. You know, every single conversation you have in BET, people are full of the extraordinary ideas they're doing about learning. but they're mixed age learning. They're kids doing project-based work. They're children working outside of the boxes that we built for them physically in their schools. What's exciting, what's happened, and what, you know, what Steve's doing with his £60 billion, thank you, Steve, is now we've got a chance to physically build the learning that we know works already online. So isn't it interesting that in BET, you know, we've prototyped a new future for learning digitally, virtually, and now we've got a chance to build it. And of course, we wouldn't dream of building it without still having that virtual dimension, because that was the mother and father of all this, wasn't it? So around the world, number of schools, I'm just going to give you some. We could spend a fortnight on this. This is a fabulous school. It's Rees High School. It's in Tasmania. It's a school that was so bad, tough end of Tasmania, up on the North Shore. The kids burnt the school down. They didn't like it. and somehow it spontaneously combusted. And as they stood around the embers, and the head teacher will tell you, as Sherry, she stood on the shores of the North Shore. The school was burning so brightly, you could see it burning from mainland Australia. And she says that with pride. She also wishes the kids had learnt more about meteorology, because if they lit it on the windward side, the whole place would have gone up. And as it was, they were left with one block from the old school. But as they stood around the embers, they said, we don't want to do it like that again. We couldn't possibly do it like that again. Let's do something different. And what they did was to rethink how they managed teaching and learning in an exciting way. Most of the children spend most of their time in these little primary learning centres, principal learning centres, with a principal learning teacher. Other teachers come and go, but, you know, typically 100 children or so will spend most of their lives in there. You might think of this as something that's grown out of the house system, but it's way more than that. This is about intimacy and community and collegiality. And as one of the children said, and those of you who've been lucky enough to get hold of the postcard sets, and gosh, there's lots of you, but if some of you need postcards with these pictures on, go to heppel.net/postcards. You'll find all these images with some little comments describing themselves. One of the kids said from here, the great thing about being with a teacher is you really get to know them, they really get to know you. They know what you've done and they know what you haven't done. So there's a real sense of pace of, you know, there's no hiding place in a school like that, but there are shared facilities. We tell you that incidences of student misbehaviour in this school fell by 87% as a result of it being built. Oh, hi, there's so many people here. as a result of that being built, you get a sense of the kind of stellar figures that we're getting out of some of these schools. Let's go to another one. Let's have a look at... there are so many. Let's have a look at Hellerup School. Now, you all know, because you're here in BET, and there's a bit of geek in all of you somewhere running in your veins, that when children sit down learning with something that really seduces them, really gets them going, it's very hard to stop them. We were talking to children about the design of their school, and I said to them, what's wrong with the design of your school? And one of the kids said, they keep frigging moving us. You know, just when I've got going, they move us. When children get their heads down and really go for it, and around the world, I think in secondary education for sure, the average learning unit is now about 100 minutes and growing fast. The longest learning unit I found on a timetable is a month. School in the UK, Liso School in Dudley, where the children do a GCSE in a month. You know, if it's June, it's June, and they do it before they get to 14. They do. I mean, imagine if somebody at 13 had put you in a room and said, you're just going to do PE GCSE for the next month. You know, are you going to walk out of there with a straight A? Of course you are. And you get two of those, and you get that buys you half a day off timetable in the 14 to 16 age group. So there's people are thinking radically with timetables, but the minute you think radically with timetable, you can think radically with the school, because most of your schools, most of our schools, were built to efficiently move people around. The bell goes, we build corridors, we build stairwells, we worry about ingress, we worry about exit, we worry about, you know, we don't need to worry about that if the children don't move. So instantly you've got 20% more space. Instantly all those discipline problems you had on the corridors, every single child that's been stabbed fatally in a British school in the last 5 years, it was at the gates, on a stairwell or in the corridor, without exception. It's physics. You take a large volume of children, compress them in a small space, you get heat, you know, and the heat turns into trouble. So these sort of schools are saying, well, they don't go upstairs very often, so why shouldn't we make the staircase the lecture theatre too? And you can see how the walls go out, the waste space disappears, and look how social and sociable that starts to feel. Here's another one. You don't have to do a new build to achieve all this. There are so many. Here's Western Heights. Now, Western Heights is in Victoria, in Australia, and there's a traditional school. But they'd seen project-based learning, they'd seen mixed-age learning, they'd seen children who were coming into school and negotiating their own pathway through a curriculum. They'd seen the typically 40% gaining qualification successes that came as a result of that. Say, we want that, we haven't got time to build a new school. They've just knocked out as many of the walls as they could without the place falling down. But let me show you the performance figures for this school, because it is frankly astonishing the way that it changed their behaviour. And what I'm trying to say to you here is, you haven't got to change much, but you have got to be ambitious. And when you're ambitious, the performance gains for your kids are absolutely stellar. Let's have a look at those numbers. I think I've got them. I saw them go past here somewhere. Here they are. Now, I don't know how well you can see. Can you see that? Let me make it a bit bigger. And people on the podcast can't see it at all, of course, so I'll try and say some of it for them. But you'll be able to see or hear. If we take something like, for example, student motivation. Student motivation was 14% before. Student motivation, 64%. That's quite a good gain. Well, you can see the thing. You don't need me to point at the screen and pull them out. But because people are listening to this on an audio podcast, I'll pick out one or two others. Student morale, 17% up to 80%. And, of course, you know, the pass rates and student success were growing as well. So this isn't about fiddling with the system. You know, we're not moving the deck chairs as the Titanic goes down. This is about major root and branch change in the way that we're teaching and learning, but it ain't hard. And the performance gains that you get are absolutely spectacular. And some of the schools that Steve's man is building, you know, you will see just breathtaking performance from them. Not all, because it's a battle, isn't it, Steve, to get, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to people about the design of new schools, a head teacher will say to me, this is all fine, but just show me where my existing timetable will fit in the new building. And my response is always to say, if your existing timetable will fit in the new building, nobody should have built you a new building. It's a waste of money. So you've really got to sit and think. And one of the battles we've all got, Steve's got, we've all got, is how can we have enough time to think through some of these issues? But the good news is, people around the world have already done it. So there are lots and lots and lots of people out there we can swap and share advice with. Let's go to another surprising school. This is Stepping Stone School in Surrey. This opened 2 years ago. It opened with two children in it. Now it's got five. It's just had an absolute rave Ofsted inspection, one of the best schools in the area. And it'll never have 10. Now, how could it possibly work? How could you have a school as small as that succeeding? How could you afford it? Having an interesting conversation with the Minister of Education for Korea, who was just about to shut all his schools under 50, and you suddenly realise that, of course, you don't need geographical proximity to succeed, you just got to join them up with wire. So that school, of course, can connect to this school. It's one of the schools I'm working with in the Caribbean. This is tough work, folks. Somebody has to do it. And here's the school. That's the neighbours over there, that's the other half. You know. And if you're a head teacher, this is the head's office. And again, how could it possibly be viable? Well, it's viable because you can connect it up with other schools all around the world. So suddenly, you know, we're in a position where anything is possible. And it doesn't just have to be small. Let's have a look at Canberra Primary in, if I can find it, in Singapore, which is here. And oh, no, that's not, that's a better picture of it. Canberra Primary in Singapore, 3,500 children in a primary school. Half come in the morning, have lunch, half come in, have lunch, and then do the afternoon. Teachers are there all day. So aren't the teachers going to die of exhaustion? No, because they've built the school sensibly in structures and systems. Every child has a habit of working with another child, large and small, look, big, little. And when they want to do something together, they go to the network, they download a little clip of video, made by the children, of course, talking to them about how they use, this is the primary school gym, how they use the gym equipment safely. And she has some questions she asks to make sure she's understood it, and vice versa. And when they're both comfortable with where they are, they go into the gym and they carry on. Look, not an adult in sight. So, you know, this isn't an exhaustion model for teachers, far from it. This is a model of learning that gives children more autonomy, gives teachers more time for reflection. Now, what do teachers do with that more time for reflection tomorrow, if you're still here? I'll come on to that. Well, we're running tight for time on all this, but I'm just going to show you a couple more things, because how do we build schools that are responsive enough to tomorrow's learning? Well, you don't know what tomorrow's learning is going to be like. There's a great habit coming through of people learning in science through performance. Dance and drama, you know, I get on my rollerblades, I crash into you, we understand Newtonian physics. You know, you three dance around as planets, you're Pluto, so you're gone already, you know, you're Saturn, you're Earth, and, you know, we're starting to to model an understanding of gravity. The trouble is, science labs are so nailed to the floor, where's the room for performance? This is the School of the Future in Philadelphia. See, everybody is exploring this stuff together. You know, we're all in this huge game around the world. And you see what they've done? The only things that are bolted down here are the sinks. You see that the gas taps are down the side, but even the benches can be taken away. So you can in seconds, you can clear the whole floor of the science lab ready for performance. So suddenly science and drama and performance. Sounds familiar? This year's the 250th anniversary of William Blake, and of course, science and performance and drama was what he was all about. You know, we fractured the relationship, but when you put it all back together, learning gets better. So I'm here to simply to say to you, I don't know how good learning can be, but I do know that if we design for it, we can have anything we want. The tough question you should all take away is, how good do you want your learning to be? Do you want half the children in your community to go to university? Easy. We can design for that. And why shouldn't they start at 16 or 14? In the Australian School of Maths and Science, it's in the grounds of Flinders University. From 11 years onwards, children sit in on university classes. You know, your kids at 16 are doing what you were doing at 26, probably more so. Why shouldn't that include their learning? And so all I'm saying to you is, how ambitious do you want to be? However ambitious you are, we can build it. And what's exciting about BET is, this is a place where people from all around the world can come to swap and exchange ideas. BET actually isn't about the show, and it's about the conversations in the tube and the coffee bar and over breakfast and all those other conversations where people are swapping ideas. This is the beginning, I hope, this big stand right in the middle, EMAP sponsored, every day a different sponsor, RN and Cisco today. What I think this is going to be about is a dialogue about how good do we want our kids' learning to be. And I'll tell you what, if it isn't twice as good as it is now, call me a liar, because I know it's going to be that good. So, tune into the podcast, catch the rest of what everyone else has got to say. If you'd like some of these as real postcards, come up and see me at the end and I'll see if I can't find a few for you. And if you want to know how the nitty-gritty of all this works, hang around and talk to the BET brains that are all around here. Lots of people been through the experience. There's Hal standing there. You know, he's got a design kit telling you how to design your school for free. You just sit down and use it. He'll tell you how to use it. Steve will tell you how to wriggle your way through the paperwork to get what you want. People from the department will tell you how to dodge the building bulletins. You know, there's practical wisdom here, but the thing that's going to make it cool is your ambition, how good you want it to be. So think on that on the way home. Have fun. All right, cheers.